This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In the name of peace, we gather here now. Oh Lord, please make these days of ours on this earth filled with peace.
Peace TV, the solution for humanity.
Tsunamis. But why does this happen? One of the things we gain from these disasters, it is actually a reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that it reminds us of the reality of death. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us in the Quran when he says, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and do not die except for in the state of Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The speaker of this session will be our brother Abdurrahim McCarthy from the USA. A bit of a background on brother Abdurrahim. He accepted Islam in 1994 and traveled to Sudan to study Islam. Abdurrahim later relocated to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to study the Quran, Tajweed, and the Arabic language. He was accepted into the Islamic University of Medina and enrolled into the Arabic Institute, and then graduated from the Faculty of Da'wah and Usuluddin. Brother Abdurrahim has since taken up many teaching roles in Sudan and currently is the head of the Islamic Studies Department of the Sudanese Oxford Academy in the city of Khartoum. He is also very active in various fields of da'wah, such as hosting a weekly TV show on Taiba TV in Khartoum and lecturing at various da'wah centers, as well as delivering the Jummah khutbas regularly in the Masajid of Sudan. So I would like to invite to the podium our brother Abdurrahim McCarthy from the USA to deliver the topic, a reflection upon the world's disasters. Brother Abdurrahim McCarthy.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. When you talk about the disasters, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, and we've seen a lot of these in the last couple of years, whether what happened with a tsunami that affected so many countries, whether what happened in China, in Burma, all of these great disasters that happened. Also, other hardships and trials and tests, as we see what happened in different terrorist acts throughout the world, what happened recently in Gaza, what happened in the jails, Abu Ghraib, where people were tortured, what happened here in Mumbai not too long ago, what happened on 9/11 and on 7/7 and in Madrid. All of these are disasters. They're disasters of different types. But the question needs to be asked, is there any positive side to these disasters? Can we benefit as Muslims from these disasters or not? This is what, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, we want to talk about in today's lecture. Because as you know, these things have happened. But can we benefit from these things or not? What is the answer? Is there any good? Because what's apparent, something that's a disaster, there's no good in it. Who can answer me? Is there any good in these things? There's no good. Oh, there is. Nobody wants to answer? Hey, brother. Huh? It depends. Huh? Ibra. Ahsan. So he's saying there's ibra. We can reflect on it. That's why the lecture is entitled Reflecting. How can we benefit from such disasters? So there is benefit in it. And if you look at the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ, that it's strange, the affair of the believer, because all of his affair, it is good. وَلَيْسَ هَذَا إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, and that is only for the believer. Because the believer, as it came in the hadith, if he is given something that is good or something good happens to him, شَكَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ, that he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it was actually good for him. And if he is ubtuli, afflicted with something, sabr, then he was patient, so it kana khayran lahu, so it was good for him as well. And this hadith, I'll tell you two quick stories that happened to me. This hadith actually saved me from being embarrassed several times. And I mentioned this recently to the brothers in Canada when I was there, is that one time when I left Saudi Arabia, I went back to live in Sudan, and Sudan is very hot. And the situation during that Ramadan, it was the first time I fasted Ramadan there in over 13 years. And it was very hot, and the electricity kept cutting off, and the water would cut off. So as I laid on my bed, and I didn't even have air conditioning at that time, I thought of this hadith, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. So subhanAllah, I thought, what is there any benefits in this? What are the benefits in sitting here in this hot room, sweating, with no running water, the electricity cut off? Alhamdulillah, I was able to gather 20 or 30 different benefits that we can benefit from that situation. I was asked to give a talk on the spot during the end of Ramadan when I prayed with one of the mashaykh in his masjid for Jumu'ah. And I didn't know what I was going to say. So then I thought about this and I made this my talk. Also a second time this year, at the beginning of Ramadan, the AC was not working in our masjid. So we stood there and we're coming for Taraweeh. And as you know, in Taraweeh, we want to focus on benefiting from the Salat, from listening to the Quran. But it was so hot inside the masjid that we were sweating and sweating and sweating. It was very difficult. But also there was great benefit in this, because this reminded us of the Qiyamah, when we will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. So I based my talk also then, when our Shaykh asked me to give the talk after the four rak'ats, that we remind ourselves, even in these difficult situations, about the day when we'll be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be held accountable for our sins. So the answer is, we can benefit from these disasters. And before I start to talk or listen to points and how we can benefit, I want to mention two principles. Qa'idatain, two principles. And the first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Hakim. He is the All-Wise subhanahu wa ta'ala. From His names is the Hakim. And the Hikmah is putting something in its proper place. The definition of al-hikmah, of wisdom, is putting the things in their proper place. So anything that happens in this world, whether it seems to be a disaster or something that's evil, we must realize and remind ourselves that it has only happened through hikmah. Even if we are not able to realize what the hikmah, what the wisdom is, we must realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never done anything and never allowed anything to happen except for hikmah. And the second principle is that
Allah knows and we do not. Perhaps something we might see it to be evil and it's actually very good for us. As it came in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that perhaps you will dislike something and it's actually good for you, and perhaps that you will like something, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ, that perhaps you will love something and want something, but it will be worse or will be bad for you. And also, if you look at the story in Surah An-Nur, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the story of Al-Ifk, when the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they accused our mother Aisha radiallahu anha of something that she was free of. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that clear that she was free of this later. But in the beginning, nothing was said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the munafiqeen started to spread rumors about our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَحْسُبُوهُ أَشَّرٌ لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, do not think that it is evil for you. Don't think that it's something evil. In fact, or however, it is actually something that is good for you. So I want you to imagine this, because this did not just affect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it affected all of the Muslims. The whole entire Muslim community in Medina was affected by these rumors that were being spread. It was a very difficult time for the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says during this, do not think that it's something evil for you. In fact, it is something that is good for you. Subhanallah. And from this, the munafiqeen, they were exposed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed the munafiqeen. And also, it helps us benefit, as it will come. Because when they're exposed, we know our true enemies. Because the munafiqeen, they're actually more dangerous on the Muslims than a lot of the non-Muslims themselves. Also, it showed the status and the level of Aisha radiallahu anha and in Islam. And the Sahaba used to come to her, and the Tabi'een after them, they would come to her and ask her for fatwa. In fact, she is one of the biggest scholars of Islam, one of the biggest scholars of Hadith, one of the biggest scholars of Fiqh and Tafsir radiallahu anha, and she's a woman. So this also, this story showed the greatness of this woman and it raised in her status radiallahu anha. If we look at it as an example of a lot of the scholars of Islam that were put in prison. If I were to ask anybody now, would you like to go to jail? Spend some time in jail? Obviously, none of us would. Nobody wants to lose his freedom. But a lot of them, when they went to jail, they benefited a lot. They benefited themselves, and also they benefited the Muslim Ummah. If you look at the big book, Al-Mabsut, and the Hanafi Fiqh, it was written by the author as he was imprisoned in a well. His students would come to him and they would write the book for him. So this book was written as he was imprisoned in a well. Also Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Some of his books were written as he was in prison. And the scholars of Islam who have been imprisoned, they mention the benefits they find during the prison. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, he said, مَا حَفَظْتُ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا فِي عُسْرٍ, that I did not memorize the Quran except for in a time of difficulty. لأنني ما سألت الله أن أحفظه في اليسر. He said, because I did not ask Allah to memorize the Quran in ease. So he said, ما حفظت القرآن إلا في السجن, that I did not memorize the Quran except for when he was in prison. طيب, it's important that we point out that Imam Ahmed, as you all know, or anybody who has read his seerah, that he memorized the Quran when he was 7 years old. And then he started to busy himself with the knowledge of hadith and memorizing the hadith and the asanid, the narrations of the hadith, and the narrators, and all of this. So he felt that his memorization of the Quran had become weak. It was not at the level that it should be, and he never was able to get the Quran down again, except for when he was in jail. So jail, it seems like a bad thing to everybody, but actually there could be a lot of khair, a lot of good in it, as we saw what happened to our scholars. One of the things we gain, or the first point we can say that we actually gain from these disasters and the hardships that we face in life, is that it caused the Muslims to repent and to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, that the evil has become apparent in the earth and at sea. Why? بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, and that which the people have earned with their own hands. This evil, it could be the evil of corruption, as we see in a lot of Muslim societies. And a lot of non-Muslim societies as well, where the government system is a system of corruption. This type of evil. Also, the other disasters that happened, earthquakes, floods, tsunamis. This is also a form of evil. But why does this happen? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes it clear in this verse. First of all, bima kasabat aydin nas. This is what the people have earned with their own hands. And then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, yudhiqahum ba'da alladhi amilu la'allahum yarji'un. For him to let them taste some of what that they have done, meaning by their deeds with their own hands, perhaps that they will return, that they will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we see these disasters, we see these hardships and calamities, it is actually a reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a call for us to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to return to Him and to implement our Islam in our lives. Also, it is one of the ways that Allah makes us humble and obedient to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا. If or when our torment comes to them, or when it reaches them, what do they do? تَضَرَّعُوا. That they become humble. وَلَكِنْ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيْلَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That, but however their hearts have become hardened, and a shaitan beautifies for them that which they are doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows us through His signs, through these things, is that in these hardships, that we become humble. And we realize our need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it will come shortly inshallah ta'ala as well. Also, one of the great things of these calamities and these disasters and trials that we face in everyday life, it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you think that you will enter the Jannah, that you will enter the paradise without such trials as those who were before you? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. That they were touched by being poor and hardships, and also by being shaken like in earthquakes and what have you. So these people were tested. The ones who were before us were tested, and we are here to be tested as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will be left alone to say they believe and they will not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. So, and we have tested those who are before you, and so Allah will know those who are truthful, and He will know the liars. So we see in this verse also that we are here to be tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us and test our iman. And if you look at the difference between the Muslim and the non-Muslim, when you watch non-Muslims, or even sometimes on their TV shows or on movies, if something bad happens, what do they say? Why me? Why me? Some of them, they look up to the sky and they start to say, why are you doing this to me? What have I done to deserve this? SubhanAllah. The difference, because we have the iman with qadr. They say they believe in the destiny, but in the implementation, we see that their belief is not like ours. Because no way a Muslim who believes in Allah in the last day could look up to the sky and say, ya Allah, why are you doing this to me? He knows, even though it's something difficult, it's hardship, he knows that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is being tested with, and he knows he must be patient through this. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that this dunya is the sijin of the mu'min. It's the prison of the believer, and it is the jannah of the kafir, of the non-Muslim. And we gain through this that we are actually in a sijin. Because our goal as Muslims is what? To reach the hereafter and to be successful in the hereafter. And this sijin, this prison that we're in, is the prison life easy? Life in prison, is it easy? Maybe none of you have ever been, but it's not. Even if you have seen it on TV, life in prison is very, very difficult. And so is the life we live in everyday life. It's very difficult, and it's a prison, as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us. Also, from the things that we gain from these difficulties is we realize that the human being is weak. We are weak as humans. يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. O mankind, verily you are the ones who are weak and are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah, He's the ghani, the rich, the one who is free of all needs, the hamid, the one worthy of praise. So we remind ourselves during the time of hardships, when a tragedy happens, when a disaster happens, we are reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that how much we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this a lot of times when we get sick, one of us becomes very ill, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know, even if we have a good doctor, there's no cure except for in the hands of who? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah decides that the medicine we're taking will not cure us, then it will not be a cure. So these difficulties and these hardships and disasters, it reminds us as well of our need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that we are weak. And it makes our hearts become attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us to be successful in this dunya, we must always have our hearts attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will never happen. Or this is one of the things that helps us attaching our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also from the things that we gain from these difficulties, especially when we go through them, is that it's a way to have our sins forgiven. It's a way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. Now, as I was coming here, I wasn't feeling good. So I looked at it and in my first lecture in India, and I'm not going to be able to perform the way I want to perform because I don't feel well. But I remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the person who is sick, his sins fall away or shed away like the leaves of a tree. As they fall off a tree in the fall, also this is how the sins, also how they fall off, and you are cleansed from your sins when you are ill. So it's actually a call to us to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have our sins. It's an opportunity. It's actually a fursa to have our sins forgiven. Also in the hadith, another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَا يَزَالُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْمُؤْمِنَ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَوَرَدِهِ وَمَالِهِ. That the affliction, there will still be affliction, a permanent affliction perhaps, in with the believing man or the believing woman, until with himself or his child or in his with his money. He will be afflicted until he meets Allah. حَتَّى يَلْقَى اللَّهُ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ خَطِيئًا. So we can see some people are afflicted by a permanent disease, by a permanent sickness. Some people might be handicapped or crippled. And this is a bala' a lot of us have been afflicted with. And this will raise in our status and will forgive us from our sins until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are free from all of the sins and all of the bad deeds that we have done throughout our lives. Also, as we mentioned, one of the benefits we gain through the hardships in life and the difficulties that we face as an ummah is exposing the munafiqeen. And as I mentioned before, the munafiqeen are the most dangerous, the hypocrites, the most dangerous people on the Muslim ummah. And we see now a lot in Palestine when our Muslim brothers are killed and the bombs fall on the women and the children. It's usually one of the hypocrites who helped them in killing our Muslim brothers. Wallahu musta'an. So the hypocrites, they're dangerous on the Muslim society. But these things, when something happens, a difficulty, these people are exposed. For example, in the beginning of Islam, in Medina, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, when they wanted to go out for Ghazwat Uhud, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they were not well known during that time because it was at the beginning of the Hijrah, the first few years of the Hijrah. So when the army left to go out to meet the army of the mushrikeen, a big part of the army decided to what? To return and go back. Because they were hypocrites and they didn't want to fight, they didn't want to die for La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah because they don't believe in it. So this exposed them to the Muslims. Also in the day we live in, we have the hypocrites, the munafiqs, who attack Islam and they claim that they're Muslims. He might be from a Muslim family and he might have a Muslim name, but it's very clear he's from the hypocrites from what he says and how he acts and how he attacks Islam in the name of Islam. SubhanAllah, when I was in Canada recently, one of these munafiqeen, he took his group, a so-called Muslim group, to the government in Canada and asked them to ban the niqab. Now pay attention. The guy has a Muslim name from a Muslim family. He claims to have a Muslim group. The kuffar, the non-Muslim, didn't ask to have the niqab banned. This is a person who claims to be Muslim. He's asking them to ban the niqab. Wallahu musta'an. So also you see, during the times of hardship, when Islam is at a weak state, you'll see that the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they will talk about Islam and slander Islam in indirect and direct ways. Also from the things we gain during the times of hardships and disasters is it brings out the brotherhood in Islam. And as you know, for the importance of brotherhood in Islam, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned from the seven who will be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, when there's no shade except for his, is those who came together for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and brotherhood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that verily the believers are brothers. And this brotherhood in Islam is stronger than the brotherhood of your own brother to you, and your own family, your own brother and your own sister. This brotherhood is actually stronger. So these difficulties, it brings us together as an ummah. If a disaster happens, if there's flooding, we'll see that the Muslims, they strive to go and help their Muslim brothers and sisters. They bring them clothes, they bring them medicine. All of this in order to what? Help their Muslim brothers and sisters. Also, if you recall a few years ago, and all of you recall this, when Denmark, when the papers there started to have the cartoons about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and slander him alayhi salatu wasalam through these cartoons, we see how this affected the Muslims, how the Muslims came together. Even the people who are very weak in their practice, they came together and they want to stand and defend our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So actually, these type of things, they are a wake-up call for the Muslims, and it brings the Muslims together. So we benefit a lot from this. Even I remember one time in Australia where the skinheads, they started to hit Muslims, even some Muslims that had been stabbed, and this brought the whole Muslim community together. And even the people who were not practicing, they came to defend Islam. And this, in the government, when they saw this, 15,000 in the masjid there, they put an end to the racial attacks that were coming from the skinheads on the Muslims. So now, we can gain this, we can benefit from this brotherhood and renewing this brotherhood through these difficult times. Even I recall now in Sudan, two times in the last few years, we have been attacked. Once was a riot when the vice president died. His people from the south, they rioted. They burnt down a lot of the stores. They broke into our houses. They even raped some of our Muslim women. And I was there. I saw this with my own eyes. From the good things that happened to this, and this is obviously doesn't seem like a good thing. And somebody went into a store with a few kids to protect the kids. They poured gasoline under the door and they burned him and the kids alive. This is a very tragic thing. However, what came from this is the brotherhood of the Muslims in the north, that they came together as one unit and as brothers in Islam. Also, when we were attacked by another group coming from Darfur, and the bombs are going off next to my house and the machine guns, also this brought the Muslim community together. It woke them up and it brought them together that we must be as one to make sure that we can protect our Islam and protect our country there and be with the rulers there. Also, one of the things that we gain from these tragic events is that it reminds us of the reality of death. All of us know that we're going to die. Nobody has any doubt that he is going to die. But when you see 100,000 people killed in an earthquake, what does this do? It's just very tragic. It reminds you of how much you need to strive and you need to implement your Islam before you die. Because it's death. And a lot of us think we're going to get old. We're going to be 60, 65, 75, 80. We're going to get sick, go to the hospital, and then die of natural causes. But look, just this quick, the earthquakes, nobody knows it's coming. And just like that, you have 100,000 who are dead. Some buried alive, then die, and some die instantly. So the death comes, and it reminds us of the reality of death. And this reminds us, or it encourages us to strive as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us in the Quran when he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqati. When Allah says to us, O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, wala tumutunna illa wa antum muslimun. And do not die except for in the state of Islam. The state of istislam, that you have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing that which he has ordered you to do and stay away from that which he has forbid you from. And also, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. To say that my prayer and my rites of sacrifice and my life and in my death are for Allah, the Rabb of Al-Alameen. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. He has no partner. وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ. And with this I have been ordered. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And I am the first of the Muslims. So this is how a true Muslim is. A true Muslim is not a Muslim on the tongue. A true Muslim is the Muslim through actions, through his acts. And it's not enough for us to claim to be Muslims and then not implement Islam. And perhaps you heard in the past lecture, I think I heard some of the stuff as I was coming in, Sheikh Ammar was talking about this issue. And a lot of us, we say, we claim to be Muslim. And a lot of the negative aspects that people look at Islam now is because of us, because of the Muslims. And the funny thing is, as they know a lot of stuff is haram for us. And when they see us doing it, it's a big problem. They can do it. You know, because their belief, they say Jesus died for our sins. The Christians, they'll tell you that Jesus died for their sins. So, if one of a good Christian dies, they say he's in a better place. If somebody from